Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Father, we just love you, Lord. And God, as we just come before you this morning, God, it's not according to our good merit. It's not anything that we've done, but it's what you've done for us, Father. And Lord, we just, as we enter into your word, Father, God, we just ask you to speak to us. And God, we know that you've already spoken to our hearts. But God, help me, Lord God, to articulate, Father, to convey what you have said, Father. God, in the time of prayer, in the time of study, Lord, and God, I need your Holy Spirit, Father, to just bring back to my remembrance, Lord, what you have said, Lord, for your people today, Lord. And God, we don't take it lightly, God, what you are saying in this hour and in this time, Father. But Lord, we just ask you, Father, to help us to convey the truth of your scriptures, Lord. God, help us to stay within the context of what you're saying, Lord. God, I don't want to make it say anything to fit what I want it to say, but only what your Holy Spirit reveals. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you would, just worship the Lord with me for a second. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, Lord. We love you, Father. We can't do without you, Father. We need you more than ever before. So, Lord, we acknowledge, God, that we need your presence, Father. Lord, we don't need to manufacture anything, Father, but God, what you are today, let it be served, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord, Jesus. And we adore you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, is your presence, Lord. It is your presence, Father, that set the captives free, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We bless the Lord today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Pastor Charlie. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, it's good to be here this morning. And I want to share something with you. Let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. Now, the Father was saying some things to me as I was praying this week when I knew I had to speak this morning. And that thought came to me for the purpose of sharing what I want to say to you. because what I believe I hear the Father say is to remind my people that it's not about making a deal with me. You say, well, I don't make deals with God. What about this one right here? God, if you would just move, I would do better. God, if you would just get my child out of this one. God, I serve you harder than I ever served you before. God, if you would just bring in the finances. God, I would praise you and worship you unashamedly like I never worship and praise you before. How many know those are deals? But the Father said, it's not about the deal. So we don't need to let's make a deal, God. But I also believe I heard him say this, tell my people that it's about obedience to what I have already said. See, he initiated the whole deal of our salvation, our righteousness, our reconciliation, redemption. He initiated it all. But we're still trying to make it happen by doing deals. God, if you just saved a sinner, God, I'll do. It's not about all that. Now, we do things because we love him. He said, if you love me, you will do what? Keep my commandments. And what he's saying there is, if you love me, you will treasure my word. You will guard my word. And Job said, you know, he esteemed the word of God more than his what? Necessary food. So what we have to understand is, it's not trying to cut a deal with God. The deal has already been cut for you. But we must learn how to appropriate the word of God by faith. How do I get it to work for me? You know, and I'm not bashing, and I'm not saying this to shame anybody, but I want to bring you to the place to just share with you what I feel that God has placed in my heart to say to you. I don't want to give you a message that I have studied out and warmed over and say, you know, come on and say amen. Come on and say, no, I don't want that. I want the mind of Christ to be imparted to you. And I believe that what I hear God saying is this, John, for so long a time, and I'm included with you. We try to make deals to get God to do something when we need to be operating by faith. Because the Bible says it is impossible to please God without faith. And you say, well, what can I pray for faith? No, the Bible says faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that hearing is a rhema. It is a repeated hearing the word of God to where I get a rhema from him that I heard what he said about this particular scripture that's been revealed to me that I can build on and stand on. Why? Because that's what Jesus said in the word of God, that I will build my church upon what? This rock, the revelation of what Peter received when Jesus asked them, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus in turn said, I will build my church upon this rock. And many people think it was Peter, but it wasn't Peter. It was the revelation that Peter received. And he went on to say, he said, let them know that I love them. I love them. And he went on to say, he said, but if they love me, they will treasure my word. They will guard my word. they will hear my word. They will begin to perceive my word. He said, I didn't leave you as orphans. He said, when I said I was going to leave, I said, I will send you a helper. And when I looked at that word helper, I've heard it before, but how many know when you hear that, you just want to go back and search it out? You want to know what he was really saying? He said, I'm going to send you the same kind that's with you now. Because Jesus realized sorrow is filling their hearts now because I'm telling them I'm going away. But he said, look, I'm going to send you another helper. The same kind that you've seen, the same way you've seen me operate, I'm going to send you a helper. The same kind that you've seen me, I'm going to send you the same kind that I am. And he said, I'm not going to leave you like orphans. Do you know an orphan loneliness? Don't feel apart. Abandon. All these things the Father is saying, I'm sending you someone to go with you that will not leave you, that will be there to assist you. I'm sending someone that will be a guide for you. Say, but we steady trying to make it happen, and really we're trying to infiltrate and mix a little bit of the law with a little bit of grace and make sure it's going to work, but it don't work that way. That's not a formula that will work, and it's not a formula anyway. See, Paul told the church at Galatians, he said, look, he said, circumcision don't profit you anything but faith in the work of Christ is profitable. So what was he telling them? What happened was there were some people that came into the church of Galatians and began to tell them that they need to be circumcised in order to be pleasing to God. We're doing the same thing when we say, I got to do a certain thing in order to be acceptable to God. When all you have to do is accept what Christ did for you on the cross, and you are acceptable unto God. Romans 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. We have access by faith through what? Christ Jesus. So I don't have to try to make a work, try to come up with a formula to get God to move for me. I just have to understand what he's already done for me. Let's make a deal. I mean, you know, it don't work that way with God. Look at your neighbor and says, all deals have been canceled by the blood of Jesus. Amen? And you say, well, if it's not works, what shall I do? Paul said, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. It is by grace that we're saved through faith. And that same faith is what needs to be developed to grow and mature in him. Okay? Now, so Jesus said this. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I shared that with you. And then he went further and said that whatever you asked in my name, that will I do. Now, how many of you just hear this? Whatever you pray in the name of Jesus, it's going to happen. I've been told that. Man, just pray in the name of Jesus. And we end our prayers, you know, in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's got to work. But do you know what Jesus was literally saying was that you have to pray in alignment with my character. You have to pray in alignment of who I am. And the prayer is not for your benefit, it's for the benefit of the kingdom. So when I'm praying, God bless me and my four no more, how many know that is not the will of God? But we have to understand something about God's character in order to pray according to God's character. So what happens is this. Moses knew his ways. But the children of Israel knew his acts. And some would say, well, I beg the difference. There's no difference. Yes, there is a difference. We see his acts through what? Salvations, healings, all these things. Those are acts of God. Almost in an automobile accident and you come out with no scratch on you, those are the acts of God. But his character is entirely something different. First of all, his character is love. And the church, what we have done is adapt that love for the whole character of God. But how many know God is so much more than love? He don't have love, he is love. And his character is love. But what about goodness? What about kindness? What about long-suffering? What about gentleness? See, he's saying, whatever you pray in my name, the name represents his character. And what he's trying to do with the body is develop our character so that when we say something, his character is backing. Why? Because our character is becoming like him. You say, huh? Yeah. What do you mean our character is becoming like him? What do you think the fruit of the Spirit is? Notice it didn't say the fruit of John. I'm his beloved. I'm the apple of his eye. And he still left me out. No. The fruit of the Spirit is the what? The fruit of the Spirit. That's what it says, right? I mean, is that Bible? Did it not say the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so on and so on? And I'm going to know we have the Spirit within us. And do you not know all the potential of the fruit is already there, but it has to be what? Developed. See, you can't lay hands on people and say, have love. Peace. No, that don't happen that way. I mean, you know, fruit has to be developed. It has to grow. You plant the seed and then you begin to have what? Apples, oranges, whatever the seed represent. Correct? So that's what the Word of God is designed to do, is to develop character within us. Do you know that there is one thing that we all have? We all have it. That God is seclusive, if I'm saying the word right, is seclusive. In other words, everybody have this. T-I-M-E. What do that spell? Tell your neighbor, time. Now, there's a time with God, how many know, is eternity. But then eternity stepped into an arena of time. Okay? Now, what I do with my time determines where my tomorrow will end. Look at your neighbor and say, yeah. Okay? Now, if you want to be, and I didn't call no names, if you want to be lazy with your time and don't cultivate your garden and your fruit ain't growing right, ain't nobody's fault but yours. See, we're the garden of God. And the Holy Spirit want to cultivate. He want to plow those old seeds up. See, the Bible said, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be what? Uprooted. Amen? Sometimes we want to cut the branches off, but we got to deal with the root before we deal with the fruit. Okay? You said, now I thought you started out all this good stuff. Now it ain't getting, it's still good. Oh, it's still good. Because I'm going somewhere with this, okay? Now Jesus said this. He janks in St. John 14 and 13. He said that whatsoever you asked in my name, okay? Okay, I'll find it for you. St. John 14 and verse 13, he says, and whatsoever you asked in my name, I will do it. That my what? That the Father may be what? Glorified in the Son. Do you not know that God is glorified in us when he begins to answer prayer? When prayer is being answered. A gentleman told me some years ago, he said, it is not a formula. If it was, everybody would be getting it. But it's a relationship that the Father has engaged himself with creation. And Jesus, when he said that, the name means the character describes, you know, is talking about his character. Now, anytime you think about a name, the name carries weight depending on whose name it is. Okay? Let's call out a few names of pastors. If I would say Pastor Terry Howell, how would you identify that name? Teacher. That he is. A wonderful one. Friend. See, now you see his character traits is pulling in all kind of different what? Attributes of him. If I was to say Martha Wadsworth, see, look at your neighbor and say, names mean something. They carry weight. So when we mention the name of Jesus, we're saying he will break every chain. He will move every mountain. He's the lover of my soul. He's there when all else fails. He's balling up every tear. He's there when I hit my rock bottom. His love is there to catch me when no one else will lend a hand. You see the character of God. See. And it's okay to know his acts, but how many know we need to know his character? Amen? It also means to conform to be conformable to his character and his purpose. In other words, it means that when we pray his character, we need to understand his purpose. What is his purpose? His purpose is that I be conformed into the image of his dear son. Now, how is he going to get me conformed to his son? You go to ICIT. No. And what happens when you go through ICIT, you put to some test. Now, all the students is, yep. But do you not know this is the purpose of testing, is to prove character within you? Go with me to Romans 5. You say, well, how you figure that, okay? Romans 5 and verse, it goes, let me just start at the beginning. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained the introduction, our entrance, our access by faith into this grace in which we stand and we exalt in hope of the glory of God, or we rejoice in hope by the glory of God. Okay, verse 3. And not only this, but we also glory in what? And that word glory there means to boast, to make known. But what are you to boast about? How good my God is. I can't boast on John because what? It's not my works that got me saved. That's why Paul said that it's not by works, lest any should boast. But my boasting is about the God that's on the inside of me, that's making me able and capable of going through this tribulation that I'm in. We give him glory in the midst of that. Why? Because we know that it's working for our good. To those who are called according to what? His purpose. And his purpose is that I be conformed into his son. But what he's doing is, I'm in a fallen world, a corrupt world. But God said, I'm leaving John here to affect this world. But before he can affect the world, I got to do something in him and change him to a place to where he's not like the world, but he's like me. Because if I stay intact, guess what's going to happen? Can I really show you how we flush out? Look what I did. I'm the man. But see, when he transforms you, all the glory goes back to, look what he did. Look what he's doing. Do you not know God can take the hardest heart and change it to where that person becomes a blessing to you? Y'all might have heard this before, but I'm going to tell it again. That was a lady. I ain't even going to call her name. But that was a lady when I used to work in textiles, you know. And they told me before I went to her crew that, man, you crazy for going to that crew. That woman hate men. She don't give you the time. I'm telling you, don't go to her crew, John Thomas. Don't go to her crew. You're shooting yourself in the foot if you go, bro. Don't go. But I wanted first shift. And you know what I did? I made up my mind. I'm going to go and I'm going to do my job. And sure enough, she was tough. You know, on our job, you know, when I was on this particular job, you know, Sister Joanne, she worked in the same department. We had our own machine, you know, you can read your little testament and run your job, and you know, so she came by one day and she said, "You're here to do a job, not read your Bible." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She walked away, pulled it right back out. She come back. It wasn't right, but, you know, that's true. I supposed to submit it to the authority. But I'm going somewhere. I'm going to tell you something. And she came back, and she said, "Just in case you didn't hear me, you're here to do a job." I said, "Yes, ma'am." I put it up, and I didn't bring it back out. The next week, that Monday, I bought me a shirt that says, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Now, I didn't buy it for her. I bought it for me. And she came by, and you know, you have to know her. She looked, "What's good about that?" I said, "Oh, this is the day the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it." She said, "We'll see." She was tough. She said, "We'll see." And she came back, and guess what? I pulled the whole number one, and Joanne, no, when you pull the whole number one, you in for a long haul on this particular day. So I got to praying. I said, "Lord, you got to help me on this, Lord. Come on, Jesus, help me, Lord. I'm dealing now, that's right. Come on, Jesus. I give a double portion of my offer. Just help me." And Lord, she came up and I was down there just working. And she said, "How you doing, Thomas?" I said, "I'm doing good." She said, "How's your day going, Thomas?" Now, that's what they call, this is what she was doing to me. And I said, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." She said, "Okay, Thomas." Walked away. Come back, I'm still just working hard. And by milliways of this beam, that's what we call them, by milliways, for some reason, that thing started running smooth. And it took off, and I got off of that thing, and I said, "Woo. Thank you, Jesus." And she came back, and I was set back with my legs propped up, and she said, kept right on walking. And I said, "Hey, come here." Now you say, "Where are you going with this, man?" I'm trying to show you that God takes the opportunities that we think are so bad. God takes those opportunities. He don't construct them for us, but he allows them to come because we're in a fallen world. Things are going to come. And she came back, and I done propped up, you know. You know, you have to know the system over there, you know, because, you know, when you got a good thing going, you know, everybody's looking at you. I wonder how is he got, what he doing to his machine over there that I ain't doing to mine to make mine run like his. And she came back, and I was propped up on my barrel. It was just Cadillac. And she looked at me, and she said, looked at my how many I had on there, and looked back at me and just didn't say a word. So I wanted to put in for vacation. So I had to go out there and talk to her. And she said, "How did you do that?" And I said, "Do what?" "I'll send you over there. What'd you do to that machine?" I said, "I didn't do anything. All of a sudden, it just started running smooth." And she said, "I don't believe that. I don't believe it." I said, "Okay." I said, "But I want to be out Sunday." She said, "Okay. And the next Sunday." And she said, "I can't do that." I said, "Why not?" She said, "Because other people might need that Sunday. I said, but it's first come, first serve. So now we got to butt heads. So thank God for prayer. I've been praying up that day. I was praying coming in. I was prayed up. She said, well, I'm just going to give you one. I said, well, thank you. So I went back. So what I did, I told this young lady, I said, how would you like to work on Sunday? She said, that's double time. You going to give up your double time? I said, yeah. So I went back. I got somebody to work for me. And she said, I don't believe this. Now, I'm telling you, this is a true story. She said, I don't believe you've given up double time money, Thomas. And I said, yes, ma'am, I am. I said, I want to go to church. Now, it didn't have that much to do with church, but I really wanted to be in church. And she said, well, I tell you what. You get somebody to work for you, you can be off. I said, I already got him. I'm going to come in for her on Monday. She's going to come in for me on Sunday. And it's still in the same pay week. And she said, I don't believe you are going to give up double time money just so you can be off and go to church. I said, yes, ma'am. I said, I'm a lover of Jesus. She said, well, we'll see. So this lady, I would go home and I would cry to Miss Faye how I was being treated. And I would let her, and she said, well, John, you know before you went. I was, you know, and I said, yeah, but I didn't have no idea it was going to be like this. Lord Jesus, help me, Lord. Please, Jesus, help me. I kid you not. And all of a sudden, I'm crying. And the Holy Spirit said, your tears do not move me. So I back up and I say, well, God, what is this? You know, what am I serving you for? Oh, is that why you're serving me? Because you want a blessing, huh? No, it ain't about that. That will come when we serve him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added. So I start studying the word of God. I mean, I got down in the word and I start studying how to be transformed, how to be like Christ, how to respond to negative report, how to respond when people treat you bad. And you know, and the word would always tell me, you don't overcome evil with evil, but you overcome evil with good. So I start doing good to her. Had no idea till I took ICIT what God was up to. And he said, it was you all the time, son. It wasn't her, it was you. And you let me tell you, long story short, at the end of the day, guess who was her favorite? Am I lying, Joanne? That woman, I'm telling you, she started coming to me. She said, can I see your testament, John? Yes, you can. She would call me and I'll, what does this mean, John? Oh, yummy, yummy, yummy. And we started spending time going through the scriptures. And guess what? This woman voted for me to be the employee of the year. And I got to go to Greensboro eating steak. Yeah. Won't he do it? Yeah. And I'm telling you, to this day, if she walked in right now, you know what she'll want to do? Give me a big old bear hug. And you know what she told me? She said, Thomas, and this ain't about me, but I'm trying to get you to see what God is doing through these things that we encounter so that you don't get discouraged when you encounter these hardships. She said, you didn't preach to me. You didn't come against me. Even in my heart and in my soul, I was so, Jesus, come on, please. But she said, you are the first one that ever respected me as a man. As a man. You know what that tells me? She'd been hurt by a man. And now every man is the victim of her hurt. So let's go to the root and deal with what's causing us to get stuck. And let Holy Spirit begin to uproot those roots and begin to let the spirit of the Spirit, of the fruits of the Spirit, be rooted down in us so that it can become out of us. See, what is the word I spelled out to you? It takes time. But we can't let our mistakes keep us like a seesaw up and down. Let's get what is causing this. What is the problem with this? Why am I keep stumbling with this? Because you are not an orphan. You are a daughter and you are a son. And because you are his sons and daughters, he's gave you a spirit just like he was when he walked this earth so that you would know that he is yours and you is his. So, with that said, me and this lady, when she called me in the office and she said, did you realize that you are the employee of the year? She said, I wrote a whole paper on you telling them about your character. I'm not boasting on me, but it's what God did in me. In spite of what people had said about her, I could have went and started telling, well, people said you was mean. Yes, you are. You've been proven out. Yes. That's not Christ-like, right, Jonathan? That is not Christ-like, is it, my brother? Now, he went through it, both of them, and graduated, so that's why I'm talking to Jonathan. But what happened was, to this day, me and her are good friends. And you know, when she see me, she give me a hug and she say, are you still preaching? Said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, you keep on, John. You're doing a good work. Ain't never heard me preach. But she seen me live. She seen me live. And I don't say that boastfully. Please don't take it as John is boasting. But if he did it for me, God is without respect to person. Let's not make a deal. Let's come to him with a true repentance heart if that's what it takes. Let's come to him in humility and let him know, God, if you don't do this, it ain't going to get done. So, in closing, you are not an orphan, but you are a son and a daughter of God. Amen? Amen? He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not abandon you. You are not a helpless case. You are not hopeless. Wherever we go, the Spirit is with us. So why should we feel like orphans? There is no need to have a troubled heart when we have the very Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of us. Sometimes we feel like orphans. I'm hopeless. I'm helpless. I feel abandoned. But we need to deal with those. Those are issues that we need to deal with. And how many know it comes from, sometimes abandon comes because of rejection. And I can tell you some things that will blow your mind that happened to me as a young boy about rejection. At 12 years old, do you know I was rejected from a church because of the color of my skin? At 12, I was told, you cannot come here. We don't allow that. I was invited to a church by a white friend, and the pastor told the friend to tell me I could not come because of the color of my skin. But God has healed me from that. But at times, the enemy would try to portray and come up and say, they don't know, don't nobody want to hear you, John. But that's a lie. If no human being want to hear me, I got a daddy that's just waiting on me to get on his lap and say, daddy, you know what's going on today, daddy? He'll say, I know, son, but come on and tell me anyway. And he'll just say, but you're my beloved. It's okay, son. They rejected me too. I came to my own, and my own didn't even receive me. See, Jesus know all about what we've been through. And guess what he want to do? He want to heal those wounds and make us so whole to where we might remember, but the scar might be there, but it don't have the same pain. Ha! It don't have the same pain. But he's a loving father. He really is. And that's all he's wanting to do is love us to the place to where we are so whole, to where we see humanity in their fallen state, hurting and abandoned and bruised and abused by family members, society, and who else. But the Father want to heal every one of those wounds that we become so productive to where the enemy will say, I thought I had them, but I don't. Amen. He's for us, not against us. And he just want to love us. Amen? He just want to love us. In closing, okay, I want to say thank you so much for the conversation you had with me the other day. It really awakened me to some things. Sister Lynn, you know, we were sharing, and she was sharing with me about, you know, her passion about, you know, about hell and heaven, how we need to let people know there, you know, there is a choice. God is not sending us to hell, but, you know, we choose. When we reject the message of Christ, that's the other alternative. But God, hell was not created for us. It was created for the devil and his demons. See, the party wasn't even for you. You're not even invited to the fire party. You invited to the cool party. The cool party is the Spirit of God. Remember, he walked in the cool of the day. But that awakened something in me. It really did. And we do have to understand, we don't want to preach hell to the place to where we scare people, whether you got to get saved, because you know it ain't about that. But there is an eternity that's weighed here. And Christ came to do what? To alter that. That you don't have to stay engulfed with sin, and the penalty of sin is death. You don't have to stay in that, because Jesus said, I come that they might have life, Zoe, the high life, and it more abundantly. Amen? So if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ, if you do not know Jesus Christ, I want to introduce you to him. I want to introduce you to him. You say, well, how can you introduce me to him? Because when you know somebody, you can introduce them, right? I know my Father God. And if there's anyone here today that you think that I'm not saved. I want to pray with you. We'll get some more to pray with you. Is there anybody? But just show your hand if you don't, if there's anybody, okay? All right. I take from that that everybody is saved. Now that you are saved, the work has begun by the Holy Spirit to transform you into the likeness of Christ. Yes, we're going to heaven, but right now we're in the earth, and we need to reflect him in the earth that others may be drawn to him. Amen? That's the purpose of God, that we reproduce who he is in the rest of his creation. So you just don't have your ticket and waiting for your train to come. You've been assigned to some area, wherever you are, you've been assigned to reflect Christ. Whether business, whether job, whether driving a truck, whether whatever you do, we are to reflect him. And that lady saw just a glimpse of a reflection of God. And do you not know, I'm not boasting about that, but it let me know that God is at work in every human being to bring them to the place where they have a soft heart. At the latter end of my time there at that plant, this woman done more for me than anybody else in that plant in my 32 years of working there. You say, well, that's because she got you the employee of the year. No. I could have bought my own steak. It was God showing himself real to let me know, John, I got this. You just need to cooperate. So look at your neighbor and let her know, or him know, you just need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Yeah, that's what you need to do. Listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, when you get that jerk in you, you know, Miss Faye done told me something, and, you know, and the Holy Spirit done confirm what she said. I got, cooperate, John. Yes! Amen? We give him a big amen. Amen. So be it. Amen. Father, we just thank you today, Lord. And God, we thank you for our time together. And God, I pray and I trust, God, that I shared what you put in my heart and my spirit. And Lord, I pray, God, that they will not see me, but they will see you in this, Lord. So, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would do the work that he's been designed to do, and that is to bring perfection within us. So, Father, we pray today as we depart from this place, but never your presence, watch over us and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Pastor hold Terry.
It. Hold it just a second. Thank you, Thomas.
Amen.
Great word today. John Thomas.
John Thomas.
John Thomas. Okay, I got two things. How many of you got one of the cards for the children? Raise your hand. This is for you. Make sure every gift that you bring has that family number and the age of that child on each gift. That way, if they get mixed up, we'll know where it goes, okay? So every individual gift, if you wrap it, has to have the family number and the child's age, because there may be multiple children in that one family, okay? That's number one. What was number two? Lisa. Lisa was number two. Lisa, come up here real quick. Do you have time to spend so people can come and give you money? Yeah. Well, it looked like you got caped. So you got a cape to put all this money in. All right, so we're going to close out, but give her the money that you want to donate and buy the box and get one free. So pull your $100 out, pull your $20 bills out, just and your fives, and come up and give her the money, and she will take care of getting that gift for you. Amen? Stand to your feet. Give God praise. Wonderful day today. Wonderful worship. Wonderful message. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.